Good morning. Merry Christmas to everybody. We're waiting a little bit on, Liz went to get Esther, so we're going to wait on Esther. But I want to thank everybody who helped with the food boxes. I think we gave 40 boxes out, and so this was a gift from one of the families that brought. And then there was a lady whose mother name is Maria. She wasn't able to come till the next day, but her mother is in the hospital, and I promised her that we would pray for her. Her mother is Maria, but she was very thankful. They had nothing for Christmas, and they were so thankful for the boxes and everybody that put those together. And we do have a praise. So we've been praying just about every week for Cassius's mom. So Cassius is back with us, and she had her full body scan, and Cassius, you want to give us a little report on that?
And it came back cancer-free. She has no cancer.
So no cancer at all. So that's a real praise. So be praying for Cassius as he finishes out his last semester, gets ready to go to master's. And Cassius, we love you, man. You're a great man. Any other prayer requests? I think Deanna is doing okay. She's been posting. I think she might be out of the hospital. I'm not sure. And Michael Hunt is in the hospital in Fresno. And so he's got, I think his pancreas is enlarged. And so they can't do any surgery quite yet till it. So we want to pray for them, and we'll go that way. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, so much for your blessings. We just are so grateful for good news on Cassius's mom. We've been praying for her for so long. Lord, there is a little spot there, and there's some issues with her back, but we just continue to pray for continued healing. We pray, Lord, for Maria, this mother of one of the families that we have helped with food. We pray for her for healing, whatever the situation might be. We pray for Deanna. Pray for Michael Hunt, Lord, as he's in the hospital. I pray that, Lord, he's doing well. Pray for Mickey as he waits for surgery. I pray, Lord, for this Christmas. We just thank you, Father, so much for sending your son, born of a virgin, to die on the cross for us, Lord. And we celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning. Merry Christmas. I trust you're all having a great day. Billy, it's so great to see you. That's a blessing. If you don't know Billy, this is Kelly and his mother. So let's start with hymn number 199. We're going to sing, it's going to be a short little time today, but we'll have a blessed time. We're going to sing, I picked some hymns specific to the lesson. So hymn number 199, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we're going to be a cappella. Shall we go? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light in life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Beautiful singing. 194 is Joy to the World. And we're going to study a little bit today on the difference between celebrating Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And from the eyes of the three wise men. So joy to the world. We definitely have much to celebrate today. 194. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. Beautiful. Singing, we're going to go to 217. O Little Town of Bethlehem. The wise men followed the star all the way to the town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watching love. O morning stars, together proclaim that holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, when meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in on the last. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Hymn number 220 is We Three Kings. Now, as we sing this, this is really quite a story and quite biblically accurate, this hymn. So really pay attention to the words, especially in the third and the fourth stanza, as we'll be reading from this scripture today. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travelers afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense own a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Soaring, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God in sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Which brings us to Matthew chapter 2. Let's turn to our scriptures and really read from the scriptures about these wise men who came to Jesus in Bethlehem when he was a young child. He probably was probably around 2 when they got there. But I just heard a little comment about these wise men a couple weeks ago, and it really got my brain thinking about some things. So let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask you to bless our study today. I ask you to bless those who have come this morning to make sure that they are here to worship you. They are here to let you know that they understand what this day is about, that, Lord, we come to celebrate, to worship, and to praise your name, and to remember this miraculous virgin birth in which God himself was born in the flesh and lived a perfect sinless life and was able to die for our sins. Lord, this is why we celebrate today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 1 and 2 of Matthew 2 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And the little statement that I heard that got my brain going was that they didn't come to celebrate Jesus. They came to worship Jesus. And that really got me a little bit. Because this surely is a day of celebration. I have some of your pictures already on Facebook from some of your family gatherings. We had a marvelous time with our grandkids on Saturday. Terrific time at Patricia's house last night and a good time this morning. And so we've done a lot of celebrating and just family things. But they came not to celebrate, but they came to worship. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, there was all kinds of feasts and celebrations. My favorite one is Purim in the book of Esther. When God protected all of the Jews, they set a day of celebration. They still have it today. It's called the Feast of Purim. And it says this in Esther 9:19. I like to read this every year around Christmas. It says, therefore the Jews in the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And I thought, see, we're doing it right. That's what Bible, it's in the Bible. We have a holiday, which simply means, it's interesting how, you know how people change Merry Christmas to Happy Holiday? The word holiday literally means a holy day. So this is a holy day, and it is a Christian holiday to celebrate Christ. And have you done any feasting yet? We've done some feasting. We've done some sending presents to one another. We've done some gladness and all of those things. But we celebrate the Lord who we worship. And worship is an interesting word. It's a Greek word that is proskino or proskinio. And the word pros means to fall prostrate to the ground. It says this in Psalm 95:6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So we have this part of worship, which is to bow down prostrate. But what's interesting is the word kineo or kineo, the second part of it, is the Greek word for a dog. Is that interesting? And it's translated kineo, dog, in the Bible every once in a while. Remember the dog that was, God says, you know, you're like a dog eating. She says, I'm just a dog to God. It's kineo. And this is what it really kind of gets me. It's, anybody here have dogs? I had a dog named Coco. Guys, remember our dog Coco? He was a very interesting dog. He had very distinct personality, in which was what? He was dumb. He couldn't do anything. He was just not very smart, which is what I really liked about him. And because of that, sometimes you'd have to discipline your dog. But no matter what we did, when we got home, he would jump up and down and lick your hand and couldn't wait to see you. And that's this idea of worship. This idea that no matter what God does, we are excited to see him. We love to be around him. We worship him. He can put us out in the cold, forget to feed us, all those things, which he never would do. But no matter what God would do, we would worship him, fall down, and just love him the way a dog loves that owner. Exodus 34:8 says this, Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worship. So you see again, even back in the very beginning with Moses, there was a bowing of his head. But look what he says to God as he worships him. If now I have found grace in your sight, Oh Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. So when I'm thinking about worship, because when you think of worship today, it's always in the sense of singing. We're going to have praise and worship time over here, and then we're going to get to the message. And so we have kind of thought as worship only being singing. But worship is actually a word that means to surrender, to bow down, prostrate before God, that you are my master, I am your pet, I am your servant, I am yours. We need your grace because we're stiff-necked people, which means to be a little stubborn. Anybody here a little stubborn?
Yes, sir.
Everyone but Liz. So, and we ask God to pardon our iniquity and take us, Lord. Would you receive us? That's worship. God, I am not even worthy to be in your presence, but I come before you as your servant. Lord, I worship you. It's a little different than celebrating, but when you go to God and beg him for that, he always says what? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be? Well, then there's celebration. Do you see? It begins with worship. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there are a lot of people in the world celebrating today without worshiping the one they're celebrating? And so I commend you for being here on church on Christmas morning. It's not required, by the way, but it is great to certainly show your need and desire to worship. But here's an interesting thing. Look at verse 3. So Herod, the king, heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So why does Herod want to know where Christ is born? He wants to kill him. In fact, remember he set a commandment that two-year-olds and younger would be killed. So then they said in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet. So the answer of these wise men is to quote scripture. Where is he going to be born? And they say in verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd my people, Israel. So we read this verse last week. It's Micah 5:2, and it is the prophecy of where Christ was to be born. So these wise men had a biblical knowledge and faith enough in his word that they were going to only go based on where the Bible told them to go, which is another part of worship, isn't it? To come to worship is to identify that Christ is Lord. How does a person become a Christian according to the Bible? Well, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And what was his answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord is the key word there. Because when you call Jesus Lord, that is the ultimate worship. I bow down prostrate before you as Lord. I surrender my life to you. And whatever your Bible says, I'm going to trust. That's true worship. Well, Herod, verse 7, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Notice it doesn't say baby, but young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. So Herod says, oh, come tell me where he is. Then I'll join you, and I'll worship also. What's the problem with that statement? It's a lie. He's not coming to worship. So this reminds me of many people around the world today that are celebrating without worship. And I don't want to say that it's not right to celebrate, because it certainly is. But I celebrate the one I worship. And many people today worship with the mouth, amen, but not from the heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God is speaking to Samuel about the new king. And Samuel sees David's oldest brother and says, that's got to be the guy. He's big, he's tall, he's strong, he's handsome. And it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look in his appearance or at the physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so this is a matter of the heart. Matthew 15:18, Jesus says, the people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What a statement. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We sang beautiful hymns this morning, Christmas carols, hymns. And there are people singing hymns all over the world today that they don't mean. Do you notice we sang all the verses of the hymns today? Do you notice how the first stanzas are all really recognizable? And then as you get to the second and the third, I don't know that one. And they get more theologically deep as you go down to the fourth and the fifth stanzas. Well, there are lots of people just singing the first ones, joy to the world and those type of things. And they are celebrating the holidays without worshiping the king and worshiping the Lord. If you remember, this is an interesting portion of scripture. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And she is surprised because this Jewish man is speaking to her. And in John 4:21, Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. So Jesus is answering her question. Her question is, where are we supposed to worship? Some say up in the hills, some say in the temple, I don't know. And Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. What we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23 says, but the hour is coming, and now is, and it's happening, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I read these verses a long time ago, and they really got to me. Because what's the opposite of the spirit? It's the flesh. And what's the opposite of truth? And I understood this verse when worship was really beginning to gain a lot of traction. And I noticed a lot of young people when I was teaching, they loved being part of the worship. They loved having their guitars. They loved being up in front of people. They loved singing. But their lives didn't really show a life of worship. There were issues there. In fact, my own son, and he was in a band years ago, and it used to really bother me that they would go and sing Christian songs, music I wouldn't usually listen to because I'm old and crusty, but they would sing these songs, but then when they were in the pews, they wouldn't sing the hymns, and it really bothered me that it seemed like they would only sing when they were paid to. You see what I'm saying? And I wondered, is there really worshiping in spirit and in truth, or is it in flesh? I always tell the story of Liz and I, we were just talking this week, that Liz and I met when we were 15. And so this is our 50th year of knowing each other. And way back in the day, it would have been in the 70s, we went to a Beach Boys concert. I talk about this story all the time. But I hate the beach. I don't like the beach. I don't like the sand, the water, the sun, anything about it. The beach, I don't like. Liz loves it. So we went and saw the Beach Boys, and we were singing that songs about surfing and about going to the beach and about, and I was singing them because the songs were good, but there was no truth to it. But I wasn't there to worship the Beach Boys. We were just there to sing and celebrate. That's not true worship. And we've got to be careful that we don't turn the holidays and church just into a concert, into a celebration. We come to worship, and that is to bow down and surrender. He says, look, if you're going to worship me, it doesn't matter where you worship. It matters how you worship. And you must worship me in spirit and in truth. When we worship, it's because, man, God has done something in our life. He's changed us. He's transformed us. We can't help but surrender and shout his name. And when we sing those songs, sometimes you ever hear a song that was just like perfect for how God is speaking to you and talking to you? That feels like worship to me. Not like Herod who just says, I want to worship him. No, you don't. You're lying. Let's look at verse 9 of Matthew 2. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great, exceedingly great joy. So they come with celebration and joy. Why? Because their first priority was worship, and worship led to joy. And they celebrated. And there's nothing wrong with that. In verse 11, the first part of it says, when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him, capital H. They came to this child. And this is the interesting thing about this interaction. Once they came in, they immediately, you could imagine, fell down. These wise men with these gifts that were very valuable, and they began to worship the child. They didn't worship his mother. They didn't worship his father. They only worshiped the child. They knew that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the next part. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, him and his Father God, they are the only entities in the universe that deserve our worship. We worship no other person. It says this in Matthew 4:8, the devil takes Jesus on a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says to them, all these things I'm going to give you if you just fall down and worship me. Can you imagine the devil looking at Jesus and saying, fall down and worship me? Well, Jesus says to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And worship and service are combined. They go together. Revelation 14:6, there was an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying the everlasting gospel, preached to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tongue, tribe, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. The hour of his judgment is come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs and the water. So we worship only our Creator. Jesus Christ, Lord of God, is the only one worthy of our Creator, of our worship. There's an interesting interaction between John and an angel in Revelation. Let me look at the next one, Nate. This one's Revelation 19:9. Also 22:8, the same thing happens. And so John is there looking at this wedding supper of the Lamb. And the angel gives him instruction. He says, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So John falls down at his feet to worship him. He falls down to worship him. Notice the him is a little h. He's falling down to worship the angels. Now we can get a little bit of worship of angels. I have been accused sometimes of worshiping angels, but since their team has gotten so badly, they don't worship them as much as I used to. But we certainly hold angels to high regard, right? In fact, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. So he falls down, and I might do the same thing. He's taken into this vision and into heaven. And this angel is before him. I have no idea what this angel looked like, but it must have been incredible. But the angel says, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God! Exclamation point. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't worship me. I'm just an angel. I'm no better. And we're in this together. There's only one we bow down to. There's only one who we worship. The truth is, everyone is worshiping something. Everyone, and many times it's just themselves. Romans 1:24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. It's interesting how it says for the lie, not a lie. But what is the lie? The lie is that there is no God. The lie is that Jesus is not Lord. And they worship the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. And this is what happens. In fact, don't we see it around this time? Hasn't Satan done everything to take the worship of God and make it something else? Change it to different holiday and traditions that it's strange ones that weren't even, there's some today that weren't around when I was a kid, putting things on shelves and things like that, which you can do if you want to do that, whatever your holiday things is. But I never heard of it when I was a kid. But it's just, when it comes to worship, when it comes to celebration, whatever your holiday traditions are, have fun. But when it comes to worship, there's only one worthy of worship. There's only one to be worshiped. It's Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Sometimes we just worship ourselves. So let's look at the second part of verse 11. We're almost done. It says, when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is part of where the tradition of our gifts come from. But their gifts are very specific gifts. I don't think they have any idea that they have been sovereignly, divinely moved by God to bring these very interesting gifts. The gift of gold speaks of royalty. They do know that they're coming to visit a king. And gold is a gift for a king. But frankincense is very interesting. Frankincense is where we get our term incense from. And it's this very specific tree that you get this out of. And when you burn it, it has a very delightful odor. But incense in the Bible, do you know what always represents incense in the Bible? Yeah, an incense, it represents our prayers going up to God. They burned incense in the temple and the tabernacle, and it was the prayers of the people that the smell and the smoke would be a symbolic of our prayers going to God. And so this incense, the gold defines Jesus as being royal, and the incense defines him as being deity, that he is both King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the myrrh was used specifically for embalming someone who has died. It's an interesting gift to bring a baby 2 years old. You know, it's like getting socks on Christmas. But it was symbolic of the fact that why he was there. He was there to die. They were probably certainly unaware of the meaning of the myrrh and maybe even the frankincense. They simply wanted to honor this King of the Jews. John 9:35 says Jesus heard that they had cast him out, talking about this blind man. And he said, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who was talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And they worshiped him. See, belief always begins your worship. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, to whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. These three kings followed a star from the scripture, went to Bethlehem, believing that this child was the King of Kings and King of the Jews. And because of that, they fell down and worshiped him alone. Acts 24:14 Paul says, I confess to you according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. So why do we believe in Jesus? Because it's what's written in the Bible. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And we have followed the biblical principle and commandment to worship him. Well, an angel comes to these three men in a dream and tells them not to go back to Herod, and they leave having brought their gifts and having bowed down and having worshiped. So let me encourage you today, those of you who believe that this holiday is not just a holiday, but a historical holiday. We celebrate Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. Today, we celebrate Christ's birthday. Whether it happened this day or didn't happen this day, it doesn't matter. We celebrate it. But 365 days a year, we worship. We worship by surrendering our lives to him, by coming to him as if we were his dog and saying, God, Master, what do you want me to do? Psalm 95:6 again. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The Lord is my shepherd, and we are his sheep. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for those who have sacrificed their time today to come worship you. Lord, even in this message, it's a message of conviction, a message of instruction to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, so much for what you've done for us. And now because of your acceptance of us as we've fallen on our knees prostrate to ask you to forgive us of our sins, and you say, if you confess your sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that's what we celebrate today. That our sins have been paid for on that cross through the perfect sacrificial lamb born of a virgin. What a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with hymn number 219. We'll just sing the first and last of Silent Night. 219. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels. Let us sing Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. All God's people said, have a blessed holiday. Thank you so much for coming today.